Ryan, what are your early impressions of Pele Nathiote? Is there any chance of pronouncing that correctly?
Too early to tell. Too early to tell. I mean, he still has to get a waiver, so we're kind of just taking it slow with him. So, just day one running around out there. We'll see.
Let's get your depth at running back seems perhaps a bit deeper than you guys have been. Just what are your thoughts on the talent there at running back and your depth there?
Yeah, I mean, he's talented and as deep as we've been in a while. So, excited about that. And then just got to get out there and compete. But, yeah, I mean, since I've been here, it's certainly the most depth we've had at that position. I think, you know, Tony's done a good job of building depth there, recruiting to that room. And all those guys have great attitudes when they're out there. And so it's fun to watch them compete. It's hard to tell how running back's doing always, certainly with no pads on. But even with pads on, if it's not a tackle situation, sometimes it's difficult to tell. But we're going to have some tackling situations like we did in the spring. We're going to do it in the preseason because we have to practice tackling. And then I think at that point we'll have a better idea of some of those younger guys. We certainly have a great idea about Master.
Second row right here, Joey.
I want to clarify with the EA. You said, I think it was a community day that he's paying his own. Is he on scholarship now?
He's not right now, no. And if he clears the waiver, then we'll put him on. But he has to still, you know, clear that hurdle.
And Steele also practiced in linebacker. Then what were your, do you have any thoughts on his move? I know he kind of had the choice to go either way.
Yeah, I think he looks excellent out there moving around. And he learns quickly. He's bright. Does a great job on special teams for us. So, you know, we've talked about kind of going back and forth a little bit. And certainly want to get his input on how today went. See what he thinks about moving forward. But there's a great opportunity to get on the field for him there. But we still really think he's, you know, very highly of him at running back as well. I think he's got a chance to have a major impact for us this year.
Third row left, Bill.
Ryan, it seemed like Josh Fryer kind of made the most of some increased opportunities in the spring. And judging by where he was today, he seems to have carried over. Just what do you make of his last few months and where is he, I guess, in that battle for left guard?
Yeah, Josh has talent. He needed to kind of change his body. He could do it for one or two plays, but then the consistency broke down in the spring. So this 11 weeks is important for him to get himself into shape. Again, we'll look at the film and see once we get the pads on if he's made that next step. But he certainly has the ability. If you could put on a highlight tape of him from the spring of probably, you know, 30 plays, and you'd say he's an all Big Ten player. But then I could give you a clip where, you know, he looked like he was exhausted and made a lot of young mistakes. So he certainly has the ability. I think he really worked hard to change his body this summer. But again, once we get the pads on, we'll have an idea of how much progress he's actually made.
Right next door, Dan.
Ryan, it looked like Mayan Williams was out there in front of a running back line today. Just what has he done in 1 year's time to kind of go from being a guy who was a freestyle recruit to now being a guy who's battling to start at that position?
Yeah, I think Mayan has worked really, really hard. If you look at his body right now, it's hard. It's you know, he looks strong out there. He's worked really, really hard in the weight room. And, you know, we had his opportunity last year. He did a good job with a couple of the runs, certainly the big run against Clemson that he had. But, you know, so we'll still wait to see how it goes. But I thought his pass protection in the spring was excellent. You've got to keep building on that. And, you know, for a guy like you said who was a little bit under the radar coming in, he's made a big impact.
And kind of how are you splitting up for reps at that position this spring to kind of get more guys in there?
Yeah, we're just trying to even them out the best we can. You know, leaving that to Tony in that room. The good news is because we have 117 guys in camp because of the super senior situation, that's the most we've ever had. We're actually able to go threes and get a lot more reps. And then even after practice, you know, doing some extra work out there like we just did, got about 13 reps with some of the younger guys as the older guys go in. So I'll have to count the total reps that we had, but I want to say we were north of 100 reps today. So there's a lot of reps to go around because this team needs it. And so that's why we have to stay healthy. And that was the message I had for the team after practice. You know, the race is on to recovery to get to tomorrow, because if guys aren't practicing, they're not getting better. And so the more reps we can get this summer and the more reps that we can get that running back room, the stronger they'll get. And so it's like that at a lot of positions, but that's exactly one of them that we got to get a lot of those guys some reps.
Second row right, Austin.
I've been using so much two tight end set over the last couple of years. Without Luke, how do you see that playing out? What are you looking for with that second guy?
Yeah, I mean, we have a couple different body types there. Cade Stover was recognized as an Iron Buckeye here, which is huge. We had a bunch of guys who did, but it was significant that he did. He had a really good summer. So, you know, we need him to replace Luke. I mean, that's really what we're looking for. We had Mitch Rossi, who is, you know, really talented. He can do a few more things in the backfield, move around a little bit. We have G. Scott, who has made the move inside. He's learned the position. And then we have a couple young guys, Sam Hart and Joe Royer, who need to really come on now. And so it's kind of a group of guys where, like you said, we want to see who takes the next step to replace Luke. Now, is it going to look exactly like that when we play the first game? I don't know. I'm excited to see. But I am excited about the growth of those couple guys, and I think they can help us.
What does it take to be an Iron Cup?
Well, that's Coach Mick, and that's something that he takes a lot of pride in. And we have Iron Buckeye, we have gold, we have red, we have gray, and so at the end of the year, we're heading into the season. We have a champions meeting, and that meeting last night happened, and it was the culmination of 11 weeks of work off of spring practice, and there's a bunch of guys who got that, more than we've had in the past. And an Iron Buckeye is somebody who's been consistent the whole way through. Their work ethic is above and beyond others. Never misses a day, never takes a day off, and really strains to get better. And it's something that, around here means a lot. And I know this, when you're an Iron Buckeye around here, you got a chance to make an impact. Because if you're doing that for 11 weeks with Coach Mick, something good's happening.
Second row middle, Bill.
Mickey usually has that handover ritual. Did you guys have that last night?
Kind of
state of the team that you're
Yeah, so really what it is just, it's kind of the transition from that 11 weeks of working with a team and the strength staff. They're there, and then all of a sudden we get back into football and that transition. Our tradition the last couple of years has just been having that meeting, and then really Coach Mick kind of handing over the team. We don't do it as much of a production of it as they had in the past, but it's the same thing. I mean, that's what's going on. We're transitioning from all that work, all that conflict, all that leadership and accountability that was so important that we're going to fall back on. And we do it all the time. Like during the season, when things go bad, we fall back on these 11 weeks, all the stuff that we did with mat drills and different things in the winter as well. Huge part of our program. And so, but now we get into football and there's a little bit of a transition there, like you're saying.
Obviously, there are a lot of questions about the team starting with the quarterback, but give me a sense of just how you feel about this team, and the fact that this is kind of back to normal, kind of back to normal.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of guys on the team that have played a lot of football. When you think about some of the guys in the offensive line, you look at, Haskell Garrett, you look at Antoine Jackson and, Zach Harrison, you look at, Jeremy Rucker's played a lot of football, Chris Olave's played. So there's been some guys, Master Teague, they've played a lot of football, but there's also a lot of young guys. So it's a combination of the two. I don't think we'll really know until we start getting to some of these games and figure it out because, there's a lot of big personalities and a lot of production that left the team from last year. So certainly at the linebacker position as well, four guys that had such an impact on leadership and production on the field. So I don't think we know yet, but I think coming off of the summer, talking about how many guys made gold and how many Iron Buckeyes we had, that's a great projection into what's going to happen in the fall. And so if we can stay healthy and continue to work the way we're working, we're going to have a good season.
How many guys made Iron Buckeyes?
I don't know the exact number. I can get it to you next time. I'll have to get it from there.
Third row, right, Tony.
Right, just wondering about the health of the team. Cam Brown, saw him out there, Court Williams, saw him out there. Did not see Tyler Friday. Any updates?
Yeah, no real updates there. There are some guys who are still coming off of those injuries and they're easing their way into camp. A lot of guys are back, but a lot of those guys too are just, there's probably a handful, like five or six guys that they're just kind of working their way back into camp. Tyler Friday won't be available. I won't get into his injury just yet. I haven't talked to him about that, about making it public, but he won't be available for really for camp and really for most of the season.
Cam Brown, good to go.
Yeah, he's easing his way back in. He practiced today. He looked good running around out there. We're going to put a lot of these guys on what we call pitch counts, so they only have so many practices. We ease in. They have only so many reps in practice. And then hopefully by the middle of next week, they're full go.
Far left, Nathan.
Regarding the linebackers, and I know the depth chart is still going to be fluid, but seeing Cody Simon out there is kind of the first guy with the base defense, just what have you seen from him that sort of let him separate there? And how much are you evaluating things like intangibles there as he's going up against some older guys who would be going to that?
Yeah, I mean, nothing's been decided yet. We're still, it's really, the way we look at it is it's practice number 16 coming off of spring practice. And Cody had a very good spring. You know, where it goes and stuff, we'll see. I think we're going to need a bunch of those guys. Last year, there was four of them, and they're the ones who played. This year, you know, my guess is it's going to be a little bit by committee, but we'll see. We'll see how the next few weeks go. But like you said, you know, there's some veteran guys in there that have to play for us. Taraja and Dallas and Kayvon. I mean, you know, they're into year three, and it's time to go. Some of those younger guys are doing a great job and pushing Tommy and Cody. And it's good to get Steele in there and you know, see him run around a little bit as well. So, you know, that's a position, obviously, that's going to get a lot of attention here and get a lot of focus from the staff, certainly through August. And hopefully in about 2 weeks we've got a better idea of who's going to be starting in that first game.
With Tyler out, that would seem to transition this sort of luxury that you have with Jack Sawyer and JT to allow to kind of let them come along, maybe play some more urgency on how quickly they start making an impact for you.
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of those guys, there's some other guys out there that are in the same boat, but yeah, they're gonna have to, you know, get on the field a little bit sooner than maybe we thought before. And that's really that whole defensive end room now because you lose a guy.
Second row left, Steven.
Losing a four linebacker, it seems like you guys have always been maybe trending towards maybe a more base defense where you got this bullet look. You guys have been talking about it for 3 years now, but between the spring game and today, maybe seemed like the first time we actually saw that out in play. What have maybe Ronnie Hickman and Craig Young kind of shown you guys over the past 6 months that allowed them to emerge there?
Yeah, I mean, we've always kind of had the bullet idea, and we want to put the best guys on the field, and that's a package for us that we can go to if we need it. But they've done a good job. Ronnie and Craig both had good summers. Court's coming along, and so if we can get those guys, and then you have, you know, Lathan and Marcus Williamson, and so when you start to add some of those, the depth that we had there of a little more experience, and that gives us a few more options there for sure.
Back row right, Blake.
Yeah, Ryan, did you find yourself looking at 44 just to see what he looked like in scarlet and gray, or just after the build-up of getting him?
Nah, I mean, once you get on the field, you're just rolling, and I'm knee-deep in the quarterbacks and the offense, and certainly we'll look at the film now. We got about 3 hours before they come back and get on the film, so that's really, you know, we find out a lot of stuff on film, but it was good to see a lot of young guys out there. Some guys we hadn't seen before. You got Jordan Hancock out there. You got J.K. Johnson. You know, it was Mike Hall. You know, there's a bunch of young faces out there. That was great. But certainly it was good to see JT out there.
Anything new with the quarterbacks? Anybody progress?
No, but I thought as a whole, I thought we threw and caught the ball well for day one. And we'll see what that means. But, you know, they certainly did a lot of work this summer because I mean, I think the first routes on air, the ball didn't touch the ground. That's a very, very good sign. But it's just step one. We got a long way to go.
Front, second row right, Tim.
Yeah, just two quickies. Number one, what was just your flash thoughts on what you saw from the secondary today from the standpoint of progress, future, et cetera?
I thought they had juice, and I thought because we have depth, those guys were able to practice a little bit faster, a little harder. Where last year I think it was hard for Sean and for Seven because we just didn't have very much depth there. You know, guys were injured and they had to pace themselves a little bit. Where we looked a little sharper today. I thought we drove for the ball a little harder, had a little bit better football position, and I thought some guys flashed out there. So again, just to start, but more depth allows us to play more guys and be fresher and be sharper.
Did anybody in particular flash caught your eye?
No, I mean, I got to look at it and see. It's so early, but just as a whole, they look sharper today.
That was one big. My number two. You've helped define a lot of starting quarterbacks in your career, and do you find it hard when you're watching a practice to, if a guy does something wrong, to get it out of your head? You know what I mean? How do you play that? A guy on a jab step on a zone read or something?
I think it depends on the mistake. If it's a mistake that makes sense, we're okay. If it's detrimental or fatal, like a pick six or something that's just crazy, that might cost you the game, that's hard to get out of your head because you're always going to be thinking about that. But there's certain, you know, you don't. I tell the guys all the time, you don't just jump on a bike and start riding the bike. You know, you got to fall off some. That's part of. You know, you can't be afraid to fail. But then there's other things that are just, you know, you can't get away with them. You know, they're unacceptable. And you know, throwing the ball into coverage or throwing the ball in a dangerous situation or just being reckless with the football, that's hard to get out of your head. I'll say for the most part today, I didn't see any of that, so that was good. But again, just day one.
middle. Pat?
Going back to and just the situation there, as you wait for clearance there, how much do you have him doing? Do you expect it to be done by the start of this? I mean, like, what is his, what is he able to do? While you guys are trying to get all the rest of these guys ready as well?
I mean, you know, he's part of the program, he's part of the 117, and we're going to just see it. I think it's another week or so before we can really get an answer on it. So, like you said, that puts us in a pinch. So we can't throw him in really with the ones or the twos. Doesn't make sense because that's wasting reps if he's not available. So you know, we'll kind of see what happens. You know, certainly got to get reps, but to put him in with the ones and the twos right now, I don't think that makes sense because we don't know if he's going to be eligible or not.
Back row, far right, Spencer.
Right, we've got JTT and Jack getting a lot of attention, and then Zach seems to have made a huge jump this offseason and has really become a leader there. Tyreek seems to be flying under the radar a little bit. What do you see out of Tyreek Smith that makes you think that he's ready to finally take that leap?
Yeah, I mean, I see somebody who has a lot of ability. He's excellent pass rusher, and you know, certainly very talented. And I think the big thing with him is taking care of his body and making sure that he's healthy. He's kind of been nagged with some injuries along the way, and I think this offseason certainly put him in a situation and a position to get through with a healthy season. Because when he's on the field, good things happen, and you know, we'll see. But hopefully, another year under his belt, the full season of preparing under Mick. You know, because I think that's what it is. When he's out there, a lot of good things happen. So I think there was a point late in the season, I think it might have been the Clemson game, I forget exactly where it was, I thought his play was off the charts. Run the ball, giving great effort, he goes really, really hard. So if we can just keep the consistency there, I think he's going to have a big year.
And then with special teams, it's kind of an underrated part of the game. You've had two class of guys that haven't really gotten on the practice field a lot with the situation last year. How much more does that the special teams need to be emphasized in this training camp to make sure that you've got those 2 years of guys ready to play?
Yeah, and we have, you know, kind of a new kicker and a new punter, and that's big too. So, yeah, we're going to have to do a great job of that. We lost some big contributors on special teams. So we do have some guys that are coming back, though, some guys that do have some experience and something we practice every day and spend a decent amount of time on. We did a lot of that in the spring. But, yeah, we have to – it's a three-phase game, and we got to be on point there in special teams. It's got to be not just, you know, we got to be, you know, equal to everybody else. It's got to be an advantage for us, and we got to be aggressive with that. You know, really our entire – other than the offensive, defensive line and the quarterbacks, everybody else is involved in it. The coaches are involved in it, and so am I. So it's all hands on deck.
Right next door, back row, right?
You mentioned wearing a mask today. Ohio State's going to require it indoors. What's your message about what the guys can control as we kind of go back to things are changing week by week and fans are supposed to be in the stadium in a month from now?
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know what's coming next. That's part of, I guess, the last couple of years. So, you know, we kind of get this thrown at us and we'll adjust, and that's okay. We're used to that now. I guess that's kind of one of the things coming off of last year that we're okay with is change. But, you know, we're trying to keep things as consistent as we can, trying not to think about it too much. Don't want to go down that road. But, you know, guys, I think we're over 90% now of vaccination on the team. So that's real big, and they've done everything we've asked them to do. So all we can do is just try to get better one day at a time and not, again, not worry about the future because you can't control it.
Over here to the far right, Gary.
Ryan, you're talking about depth in the secondary, but it's a lot of inexperienced guys. And your leaders, the presumptive leaders, I guess, in Cam and Seven, Marcus, these guys that have been here for a while, are all dealing with their own personal stuff and injuries throughout the spring. Has there been, like, a leadership vacuum there? And if so, who's filled it? And, you know, how does that potentially impact guys like Jordan Hancock, like J.K. Johnson?
Yeah, I think that they've done a good job. I think Seven Banks is an excellent teammate. I think there's been some really good leadership in that room. But, you know, like you said, whether they're on the field or not, it does make a difference. You know, it's one thing to lead from the back of the room. It's another thing when you're actually on the field doing it. And so to get those guys back on the field again has been big and have good, strong summers. You know, Proctor and Lathan Ransom, even though, you know, maybe they haven't played as much, but they've, you know, Proctor has, and Lathan has shown great leadership as well. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to step up. But that's college football. You know, we're going to lose great guys year in and year out, and then younger guys got to step up. And I said it to the freshmen who are here, who just got here for the first time. You know, your legacy starts now because it goes fast and faster than ever. So you can't wait around anymore. You can't wait for, you know, an older guy to show leadership. It's you can do it right now. And so some of those young guys in that class, in last year's class and in this class, have really done a good job of that. But I am proud of the older guys. I think that they are showing the way, and I think the more they get on the field, the more confidence they have, the better leaders they become.
Where do you see Jalen Johnson and Andre Turrentine fitting? I mean, are they multiple guys?
I don't know. Yeah, I want to see once we look at the film. I don't even know what I'm looking at. Some of those numbers, I don't even know who they are. Like, well, that was a good play. Who's number 32? I don't even know who they were. So I gotta figure out who those people are. Some fresh names, fresh jerseys out there. Some guys switch numbers. So I think Marcus Williamson was in 5. I didn't know who that was. So we got to figure all that out. But again, just as a group running around and making plays, it was energy and it was sharp, and I thought it was competitive.
We got a few more minutes. Some of you, if you want to raise your hand, if you got another question, we'll keep Coach Dave for a few more minutes. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr., you got to see him all spring, et cetera. Put him in perspective as a incoming freshman. It seems that he has all the tools. I mean, just watching him and stuff, and I don't know, how would you put him in, just a guy coming in, raw, et cetera, but is he looks ready to play.
I mean, I think all three of the guys are very, very impressive. And Marvin had a really good spring, had a really good summer. You've seen him, he looks great. But Emeka Buka, unbelievable. Had a really, really good, spring. He had a really good summer. I mean, an excellent summer. And so is Jaden Ballard. I think all of them are different. They're all different body types and styles. So, in a really talented group and room of the receivers, I'm excited to see kind of what they look like the next couple of weeks, because I've been very, very impressed and think that they can have an impact early on.
What do you attribute that to? Is it the 7-on-7 proliferation? Obviously these guys are good athletes too, but I mean, what do you attribute that to?
I think that's probably what it is. The more and more these guys can play, the better off football players will be coming into college. And I think it's hard to do with offensive linemen, linebackers, but quarterbacks and receivers, I think, are a little bit further along now than maybe they were 10 years ago because of that.
Right next door to Austin. If we could keep them at one, just because I got a handful of you guys. Austin.
Yeah, Ryan, getting.
What about 1B?
Yeah. All of them together. Having Harry Miller healthy again out there, and will you intend to keep him at center, or is that the plan moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, he's starting there, but he has great flexibility, and we think that the center can play guard, and we can move those guys around. The more versatility we have, the better. But he's had a very, very good summer, and worked really, really hard on his body and got healthy. So we're going to start center and kind of see where it goes from there. But the good news is he can do a lot of things, and that's a huge value.
Right behind Tony.
Those three freshman receivers, they are living with Kyle McCord. Did you guys put that together, or did they?
No, they did. Yeah, they did. And Kyle likes doing that. Yeah.
What does that do for your future?
Yeah, I think there's a bond. I mentioned it again. I brought all the freshmen in here, and I mentioned to them that report date last night. You know, when I played, was you meet somebody for the first time. When you show up at the dorm and you got your box fan, and that's so different now. Now they're living in apartments, and they've known each other for 2 years, and they already have that bond and that relationship. And so I think it's something that you got to give Kyle credit for in the recruiting process. I mean, he on offense and Jack Sawyer on defense, really was the glue to that class. And he's had an impact on those three guys, and they all live together, and there's a bond there, and there's a connection there. And so then that's leadership. And again, hats off to Kyle for doing that. And it's going to pay dividends in the end.
Second row middle, Bill.
Trevion Henderson, he comes in as a 5-star guy. It's early, but what are your impressions of him? How does he look special to you?
He's very serious. He's very serious about his football. It means a lot to him. He is low maintenance, high effort, and has a lot of a talent. And the more we can get him reps, the more he can play, the better off he's going to be. But I think he has a chance to be special, yeah.
Third row left, Bill.
Right. Haskell and Teron both kind of look like the guys you would traditionally see playing the 3-tech here, but I'm wondering, do you think they could play alongside one another? One of those guys potentially play 1-tech, or are they kind of just, the pair that you have at 3-tech?
Yeah, we've kept guys pretty much at 3-technique and nose, but it's not that hard to move a guy from 3 to the nose. They have flexibility to do that. We obviously, like you said, like them at 3-technique, but there's flexibility there as well.
And final question, back row right, Spencer.
Ryan, you had two pretty vocal leaders last year on the offensive line, Josh and Wyatt, both move on. Bears aren't really a vocal guy as far as leadership. Do you see a need for that? Do you guys need a vocal leader on the offensive line, or do you think that the leadership styles all kind of mesh together pretty well?
No, you always have to have a vocal leader in that group. You got to be strong. You know, there's different styles of leadership, but one of the styles is, you know, one of the clubs in your bag has to be, you know, authoritative. You have to be strong in certain settings, because when you're on the field, you can't just, you know, put your arm around it. We don't have time for that. The clock's ticking down. We got to go. And so there has to be vocal leadership there. I'm not going to really get into who and how and everything. Certainly Thayer's been a big part of that. He's been strong. But there's been other guys in that group that has actually stepped up in front of the team this summer in some of Nick's workouts and had really, really strong, powerful messages for the team and for their unit. And so I think that there is a vocal group there. There has to be a vocal presence in that room.